Still in chapter 23 of Jeremiah, and we got down to verse 14 last time. Jeremiah 23, we stopped at verse 13, and we got to 4:14. That's not till Luke. Let's read Jeremiah 23, verse 13, 14, and 15. I would urge those who are listening, if you have some comments in the streaming video audience, or whether Charles or Jerry or Wendy, if you have any comments, give us a call, 856-261-9018, and we'll just put your comments out. We'll talk about your comments as well. Let's read verses 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 23 of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and caused my people, Israel, to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth in all the land. Just those 13, 14, 15. Last week we stopped at verse 13. Who is talking in verse 13? I have seen the folly. Who is talking there?
The Lord.
The Lord, that's right. He's seen the folly. Where does he see this folly?
In Jerusalem?
Yes, and in what particular people? Alright, and what type of this people there? Verse 13.
The prophets.
The prophets in Samaria. Now the Samaria is up in the north. To go like that map down on here, Samaria is here in the green, and the Judah is down the south. So the northern prophets, they're bad. Well, he's going to get to the Judah prophets of the south as well. But I guess we can't see that on the map. It's too low, I suppose. But the prophets... here's low here. I guess we can see that. Can't be down here. This is... Okay. So here's the green, which is Samaria. Now, prophets, are there prophets today, like these prophets here? Literal prophets? Some people think, but is that scriptural to say they're prophets today? No, they're not. See, they don't have any. The prophets receive the words of God. They preach the words of God. They don't have any people receiving the words of God. He's already given us his words. See, in the New Testament, you have the apostles, you have the prophets, and they receive the words of God and they preach them. But today, no. Now, the Mormons think they have apostles. They have apostles of the Mormon Church, and they think they're prophets. There's some people like the Charismatics, they think they're prophets today, and they can have these revelations, and they have the revelations before their meetings, and they start saying, this is what the Lord has said, these will not spew forth whatever from out of their mind, their brain, they think that's a revelation of the Lord, and then somebody interprets all this, and these Charismatics have big meetings, and this part of their services are prophecy. Absolutely crackpot, absolutely unscriptural, absolutely wrong. But though we don't have prophets as such today, what would be an analogy? What would be a similar office if we apply this to right today? What would be the plan? Instead of prophets, what would it be?
Witches.
Well, witches, which certainly there'd be bad prophets to be witches. What else? If they were good prophets, they're witches. What is that? Other preachers. See, those are evangelists. See, those are pastors. In other words, those that are leaders of people. And they're supposed to know holy things. That pastor's supposed to know the Word of God, holy things, the Christian teacher. And there's folly in the prophets of Samaria, and I'm sure God, does God seen any folly in the preachers of today? Yes, he has. Folly. And see, prophets were leaders, and preachers of today are leaders. And they're the ones that are supposed to lead the churches and the flocks and so on. And what was true of these prophets in Samaria? Verse 15.
They
prophesied in Baal. All right, and we saw last time that Baal was a wicked god. He sanctified idolatry, homosexuality, fornication, whoredom, and they lay with the women of the congregation, and these would give the cost of this, whatever the sexual cost was, they would give that into the god of Baal, and the prophets take that as a pay for the immorality, a terrible thing. Baal was a male false deity, and Astaroth was a female, but they both were vicious impure, and they prophesied in Baal. And then, because of that, what else did these prophets or leaders of the Old Testament is surrounding do in verse 13?
People of Israel to err.
They caused my people, Israel, to err. What is err?
To
make a mistake. The leaders. Now, it's true the leaders can influence people. But who is in the bottom line responsible for what a person does?
Yourself.
It's the people, isn't it? Now, they caused them to err. In other words, following the lead, you're the leader. Peter Pan. See, isn't that one of the things? But, and that's bad. Should prophets or should preachers cause people to be evil and to err? No, they should not. They should not. But God is against these prophets because they caused his people to err, to stray from his word. And so the Lord is angry with these people. And I'm sure he's angry with pastors and preachers and evangelists who are just wrong today. We have people that are like Robert Schuller, Prince of the Glass Cathedral. And he was on Larry King Live just this last night, and he was talking about one of his choir leaders that came, was insane.
And
leader of his choir. Leader of his choir, so I say. Leader of his choir. He was lost his mind, and he shot himself. I guess he had a gun. He finally killed himself right in the church. And it's too bad about that. He had a mental problem. But Robert Schuller is such a false teacher, such a false teacher. He's just a psychological man, and he says we're not really sinners and different things, and he's leading people astray. He's the one that's causing this whole movement of, what's his name, Bob?
Rick Warren.
Rick Warren. And all this bad, large mega church. He was trained. Rick Warren was trained at his church and staff meetings, and then went out to have his big church that he needed to come out.
Well, he gave the way of salvation pretty clear. He didn't say that it's sin, but he talked last night, because, you know, it was about suicide. That was a question about suicide, and he said about Jesus dying to be the Savior. I can't remember exactly, but it was pretty clear.
Yes, but you see,
if you once received Jesus, if you once are one of his, no matter what, your sins, past, present, future, are forgiven. That's what he said. I know what he believes.
Yes, but what he believes is that the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, which he did, but also that the whole world is not saved. See, that's where he, when Billy Graham was on his program a year or two ago, I don't know how long it's been, we have it on video, or audio tape, and Billy Graham made the mistake of saying, those people have never heard. See, all the wilderness, all these people, whether they're Muslims or where they're at, they're all God's children. And here old Robert Schuller said, oh, Billy, I'm glad to hear you say that. Agreed 100%. Lost people say that. He's a false teacher. And many others. There's these charismatic preachers, you know, these faith healers on the TV and different ones, all kinds of bad situations that are leading God's people to say, all liberal modernistic churches and pastors. Yes, the dear lady last night. We gave her, Bonnie gave her, she always gives her these calendars. And the gospel tract in the back. She's a colored lady, and a nice, very friendly lady. We were there at whatever that place is called, the all-you-can-eat place, Old Country Buffet over there. And she said, this scripture verse is on the back. Talk about heaven. I said, well, that's where I'm going. She said, are you under the body saved? And yes, in the blood of Jesus, you're trusting God. And then she came back, she says, I'm working just as hard and striving just as hard as I can to get to heaven. And I go, I said, Lord Jesus made it all. He is, his work is finished. All to him we owe. And trust in him. Then, do you remember John 3:16? I thought, so she knew a little bit of it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever works his head off, no, believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So, got to give her a little bit of prejudice. It's not by works that we do. So, there are a lot of people mixed up. And I'm sure her church has all mixed up. Work. Right now, after we're saved, we ought to work for the Lord. There's no problem there. But to be saved, you can't work. He did it all. He paid the sins debt that we owe. Cause my people Israel to err. And that's why it's so important. Dr. Bennett has just written a wonderful paper. We're going to put it out on the rack this Sunday. A wonderful paper on the bonsai churches. Bonsai churches. I don't know what in the world is a bonsai. B-O-N-S-A-I. And as it develops, it's those little tiny Japanese trees. And the way they get that way, they cut off their roots, make them small, and then they bind their branches and tighten them up and do a different thing. He says, that's what some of these churches are. that binds that church is they're tying the roots and they're destroying roots that are important so they don't do what's right for the Lord. And he has a whole bunch of whole 8 pages on that binds that churches. And it's terrible. And Rick Warren is the most important bonsai type church builder. He's got these big mega churches and all. Don't preach doctrine, don't preach about hell, don't preach about forgiveness and sins and so on. Just be positive and so on. And have a user-friendly church, all these things. It's an excellent thing. But these kind of people have caused God's people today to err. Then in verse 14. Now, remember, Samaria is the north. That's Israel. That's the green place up here. What's in verse 14, though? What's he directing his attention to now?
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, which is in the south. The northern 10 tribes, the southern 2 tribes, of Judah and Benjamin. And what has he seen in their prophets in verse 14?
Horrible.
Horrible. Is that a good word to use, horrible?
Well,
it's horrible. It's descriptive, isn't it? And here God is using that word, horrible. See, if God has some emotion, doesn't he, against sin. Is he for it or against it? That's like the little girl went to church, didn't know much what preacher was saying. And was asked by her mother, who didn't go to church, what did your preacher preach on? Well, preach on sin. Well, what about him? Well, he was against it. That's all she remembers. It's a very simple thing, that God is against it. It's a horrible thing. And look at what they did. Now, what's the first thing that these prophets have done? Now, is that what a leader should do? Or even non-leader, a follower, nobody, adultery. It's a terrible thing, a horrible thing. Committing adultery. Is that very frequent and rampant in our country today?
Mm-hmm.
And all over the world? Yes, it is. And they don't even bother marrying anymore. They just shack up and live together. It's a terrible thing. And leaders. See, these were leaders in the Old Testament, the prophets. And pastors and preachers and Christian leaders, and all Christians should be leaders in their way too. Not just the preachers and the deacons and so on, but all Christians should be leaders and not commit this holy of God.
I believe I heard about it on television that by the time young people get out of high school, 60% of them have to finish education.
That's what was on the news, wasn't it, just the other day?
Yeah.
60%.
And we see, you know, we go to the 100% all the time.
Yes.
They talk about the Holly.
Yes, oh yes, there's Holly. Here's one of the witches. Nice little girl. And she was leaning over the penthouse to the table and cleaning it up for us before we sat down. Said, well, you've got a long reach. Won't be long, she said. Oh, no, because, I mean, you're pregnant, you haven't been able to have a baby. Yes, oh, yes, but I haven't made sure she can't reach too long because she's got to pray. Oh, then my wife said something to her. Where does your husband look? Oh, we're not married. We're going to be married, what did she say, next week or next year?
Yeah, yeah.
Later, after the baby.
After a while, I said, did you
do
this sort of backwards? Oh, no.
No, no. This is
fine.
Oh, yes.
We have more
babies
that are pregnant.
She gets right
and
on.
And another restaurant has
right.
One child already.
Yes.
And another one on the way. I said, aren't you doing this backwards? And she said, well, before we can get married, we have to get a house.
Can you imagine
a house?
Just shut up to get a house. This
is evidently a wedding. Evidently, weddings are very, very expensive.
Yes.
And all they think about is the big eating and all
yes.
That stuff. And they have to save up for it, because before they can have a wedding, they probably have 5 children by then.
Yes, that's right.
You know, they have to have a house, they have to have all this stuff.
Terrible, terrible.
And she's a nice
well, nice girl, nice waitress, but several of them in that same place were going.
Yeah, the owner.
The owner, and she had another.
A little baby boy.
And
he can't help it, he's a daughter.
But no marriage with all, it's just sad.
And I said, oh, and this is, she told me one time, this is the other one with the little boy. Show me a picture. This is the father. I said, oh, are you going to marry him? Well, I don't know a picture about it. I don't know.
Imagine that. I talk about backwards.
Well, I don't think that we can.
No, they're not thinking. But these leaders here in the church. Oh, yes. They love the baby. But, you know, it's not the baby's fault that the parents are illegitimate. It's the parents that are illegitimate. They're not all illegitimate babies. The parents that are illegitimate. But committed adultery, leaders have no business leading the people astray with adultery. What is another thing they do in verse 14? These prophets in Jerusalem.
They walk in line.
How would you go about that?
Some people never tell the truth.
Yeah, that's true. Some politicians seem to just lie quite a bit.
Some people lie all the time.
How do you go about that? How, if we want to set up a walk in lies, how could we do it? Not that we want to, but I mean, just illustrate it.
That's your whole life is a lie.
All right. Maybe you say you're working for the government, you're working in this place, you're on leave, or all these different things. You've been married, your husband's dead, or you know what I mean, and you may have a lot of money, and you know, all kinds of things. You can make up stories. Just walking in lies. Of course, these prophets that detract from the Bible, the Word of God, that they're supposed to be preaching in Jerusalem, that's the biggest lie of all. Stating that the Bible is different, and they're prophesying in Baal, see, like the prophet Samaria did, but the prophet in Jerusalem. Horrible thing. Commit adultery. Walk in lies. What else do they do? The third thing in verse 14.
They escape the house and they
can't leave the door. How does that happen? How does people strengthen the hands? Yes, and I think the politicians, frankly, that go along with homosexuals and homosexual lifestyle and say this is all right, fine, are strengthening the hands of the evildoers. Are the homosexuals evildoers, aren't they? Yeah, they are. The actions are evil. Now, we want to win the Christ, that's fine, but their actions we've got to condemn as evil. And the murderers are evil. And to strengthen their hands and to hold them up is a terrible thing. And this is what the prophets are doing.
They're saying that there's nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
And if you say there's nothing wrong with it, they're going to continue to do it.
Continue to do it. Both those that are committing adultery, and those that are lying, walking in lies, and the evildoers are strengthened. You know, we're living in a day, are we not, when wickedness in the high school age, my wife just gave the statistic, 60% have sex before they leave high school. That's what the one figure is, and whether true or false or no. But that is looked upon with favor. And then another statistic, we brought up yesterday, the same thing on the video, on the television set. But remember, these young people have oral sex, and they think nothing of it. Nothing of it, no conscience. That's all right. See, this is causing people to strengthen the hands of evildoers. And our President Clinton, with that very action himself, with Monica Lewinsky, strengthens the hands of the evildoers, and he's supposed to be a leader, see, it's a horrible thing. And then he says, oh, I didn't do anything until he got caught. And then that's too bad. So, but the strengthening of the hands of evildoers by leaders is a horrible thing. What is another thing, a fourth thing, that God talks about verse 14?
They're not returning from their wickedness.
Not returning. Now, is it one thing to be wicked and not return? Is it another thing to be wicked and to return? Are they separate things?
It's
thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. That's what let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man says, I will pardon. Does God want us to return from wickedness? Mm-hmm. He certainly does. And he says, none doth return. That's why God gave them up, I believe. Sent them packing over to Babylon, the southern two kingdoms, and to Assyria, the northern kingdoms, 700 B.C., and the southern kingdoms, 600 B.C., 100 years later, because they didn't return from the wickedness. Now, do people that are accustomed to do evil quickly and easily return from that wickedness?
No.
Do we see people that we know all the time that are bad people? Do they return from the wickedness? Look at this man, this Latin American man, whether it's from Mexico or whether it's left back or whatever, trying to commit suicide, puts his car in the railroad tracks, crashed, 200 people almost injured, 11 dead. What is he thinking? What that sort of evil?
Mentally ill,
but if he wanted to commit suicide, and then he thought again, why did he pull the car off, see? And they said today that act, because of the way it was permitted, is special circumstances, and the death penalty is awarded in that special circumstance. Also, he says, as far as we're concerned in California, it's a terroristic act.
Yeah.
Terroristic act. Who knows? But what he might have been there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Where he came from, whether he had a citizenship, or whether he wasn't. See, he's a Spanish man.
Citizen.
He was a citizen. Okay, so at least he's got a green card. But the evil, not returning. Returning to me, says the Lord, all through the Old Testament. Now, what is the picture in verse 14 that God paints of these prophets in Jerusalem? What picture?
Sodom
and Gomorrah. What do we know about Sodom and Gomorrah?
God
destroyed them. Why did he destroy them? Absolutely evil. Phil and sodomy today, the homosexuals are riding high, white, and handsome. They're a small minority. They try to submit it like they're a big minority, majority. They're a tiny majority, minority, but they allow. And the political people are catering to them. And they speak at their meetings, and they try to curry favor with them. And here we got one of the leaders in Congress, got many of them, I suppose, but Ronnie Frank. He's a fellow, is he from Massachusetts? Congressman Bonnie Frank. And he's a homosexual and he's proud of it, see. But as Sodom and Gomorrah. And the wickedness is great.
And how many are homosexuals and don't tell us? Like our governor.
That's right, like our governor. You got it. There he is, just revealed. And yeah, a lot of them. You wonder why Collingswood is gay friendly. You wonder why New Jersey is gay friendly. And why the whole Camden County is gay friendly. And it carries up. You have a governor, look right down the line. And the governor is a leader. He's like the prophets. They cause my people to err.
And do you think that because they're married, that they have, that they're showing that they're completely normal? Who's right. to say that they are normal?
That's right.
They could have a wife, they could have children, and still be homosexual.
Homosexual. That's exactly what they do. They try to cover up a lot of them. That's a sad thing indeed. In fact, one of the quizzes that was on the Fox News yesterday, if you answer this question correctly, you're going to get a book on the sports. That one of these fellows had written to. And the question was, who is something or other that had a program of her own, and now she has a program of her own, and she used to be a solid program son. You know who it was?
Rosie.
That was the other one. Rosie's one homosexual, isn't it? The other one.
The degenerate.
Balance. He's got a hold of it. And giving a prize if they could guess this wicked, evil, sinful woman. Some people get all bent out of shape when I preach against homosexuality as being a sin and wickedness. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Oh, you can never win them if you're preaching it as a sin. What does God say?
If you read the Bible, that's what it says.
That's what it says. And the point of it is, you have to preach the truth. And the truth is all of us are sinners. Or the homosexuals, whatever, but they're a special breed of cats, am I right? God says that is an abomination. Lying man with a man, woman with a woman. And so anyway. I tell you, if we keep preaching, as we said many times in our Bible studies and our preaching, if we keep preaching against the homosexual and preach the Bible and quoting the Bible, if the laws are passed that you can't preach against the homosexuals, they'll haul you away to prison, as they do in the area of Canada. See, they do that in Canada, too.
And you can't say that it's wrong to kill an innocent baby by having an abortion, that that's not wrong either.
Yeah, they probably will get a law on that one. You can't kill a baby. And that's all murder, isn't it? Absolute murder. So,
murdering of the innocent.
Murdering of the innocent, without any witness of any kind. It's interesting, the Roe versus Wade, the lady Roe, has not been converted as a Christian. She must have done away with all that law that she passed against, for abortion. Did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. Roe. Is that right, Don?
Yeah.
Roe. The lady, I don't know what her first name is, but Mrs. Roe, whatever. She's repented of that, and she wants to change it. And so some are pushing for this, the repeal of Roe versus Wade, as far as this law. Of course, that'll be a hot potato, I'm sure. But Sodom and Gomorrah. Then, the homosexual, that's one thing. This homosexual leader, Virginia Malika, Dr. Virginia Malika, PhD in English. She teaches up in northern New Jersey. What's the name of Trenton State College, New Jersey State College or something. She teaches English. She's a big homosexual, a lesbian, and she has a book, Women, Men, and the Bible. She's also written another book, A Homosexual, My Friend. And she says that the Sodom and Gomorrah, the only sin of that one is they were in hospital. That's all.
In
hospitality, that's what that's in front. Can you imagine that? Anyway, it's wrong. All right, verse 15. What does the Lord say about these prophets in verse 15? Based upon their wickedness.
But a thief and wormwood.
What is wormwood?
That's a wicked,
filthy wormwood. All right, and it's a bitter word, isn't it? It's a very bitter wormwood in the gall. There's a poem by Keats, or Yeats, all my Shelley, and is it Keats and Shelley? I think Keats was a poet. He says, Lord Byron. He says, my life is in the yellow leaf. All my years are wormwood and the gall. Bitter one, because he was not a homosexual, but he was in the stages of syphilis. He was in the Parisian stage, the final stages of syphilis, and he was dying. My years are in the golden leaf. All my years are wormwood in the gall. That's all he's got left. instead of them. Yes, ma'am?
Nothing, I just wanted to look at the camera.
Oh, so, so that's what it's true. It's against them, and you've got to feed them with wormwood. What else are you going to do? In verse 15.
Drink the water of gall.
The water of gall. There again, gall is a bitter thing. Wormwood is bitter, gall is bitter, huh?
Mother, Jesus.
Yes, they've given wormwood and gall in order to ease the pain. See, they get this, whatever it is, so weeds of some kind, and put it to his lips. When he saw what it was, he refused. They wanted to assuage his pain. He would not be assuaged, you know? The gall, that's all, that's going to feed them with wormwood gall, these prophets. What is the reason for the feeding of wormwood gall, verse 15, last part? Why is he going to feed them in poisonous, bitter water?
Prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness. Okay. Forth into all the rain.
From the prophets of Jerusalem. From them. They're the source. What is profaneness?
Pollution, hypocrisy, and godlessness.
Pollution, hypocrisy, godlessness. That's profaneness. Like profanity. See, against the Lord, against everything. And everything is wrong. Just profane. Nothing is right. Absolutely wrong. Profanity. And notice it says, from the prophets is profaneness gone forth. From the prophets. They're the source. They're the source, aren't they? And when you have a bad prophet, you have a bad source. See, it's just an evil fruit. If a mom and dad is evil, teaches their children to be evil. See, as the tree is bent, or as, you know, as something's bent.
Well, my mother used to say,
as the tree is bent.
The fruit doesn't fall far from it.
Yeah, that's right. The fruit doesn't fall far from it. And people learn to do evil from a lot of times evil parents. And not that the children aren't responsible for what they do. They are responsible, but it's one way to sort of lead them astray. So from the prophets, this profaneness gone forth into all the land. See, it's a universal thing. And it's a sad thing indeed that this is the case, that the prophets in the Old Testament, and pastors even in the New Testament, the great ones that are living today, when they're evil, it just pollutes the whole land, especially when they have pastors and prophets and evangelists today, I don't say prophets, but pastors, that are on television or on the internet. Like we have an internet facility, not that everyone listens, but some people do, and they download and they can listen to us. But this is the true, yes,
ma'am? I was thinking, when I was talking about prophecies, fourth dollars and fourth dollars.
And tell her fourth.
But you don't believe that.
No. See, that's the one they interpret that. They interpret prophecy pro, femi. Femi is to speak. Pro is for, or is fourth, and pro is for on behalf of. There are three uses, if you want to phrase it that way. Speak forth the word, speak for God, and speak in behalf of, see, for in a foretime, ahead of time, see, in other words, prophesy. So there's three different uses of the word. And some people say, well, that's what we're at today, prophets. No, but I don't believe that. You've got to be literal about it. A prophet gets direct words from God. And no longer is he getting any words from God. No longer is he doing that. God has spoken. His scriptures have been written down. It's inscripturated, as we call it. And that's the way it is. So, profaneness from the prophets. And, of course, television is a wonderful thing, but if you have false teachers in there, it's a sad thing. The new evangelical crowd that dominates television, for instance, that they're leading people astray, all kinds of people astray. They just Billy Graham, and all of his career. He's got this disease and Parkinson's and so on. He can hardly walk and so on. You see him at the prayer conference, meeting there with the president, you know, before he was inaugurated. But Billy Graham has led so many people astray. He's seeing nothing wrong with having liberal apostates on his platform, leading in prayer. Nothing wrong. See, that leads people astray. And he teaches people by his actions. Nothing wrong with sending the so-called converts back to the apostate churches, the members of an apostate, the liberal Presbyterian church, or Baptist apostate church, or Lutheran, send it back. And he's also wrong for sending it back, if they're Roman Catholics, back to the Roman Catholic church. No problem. See, he's teaching wrong in all these things, all of his years. Now, some people, I'm sure, have been genuinely saved and born again by his meetings. But he's teaching by example. That it's all right to have fellowship with evil. It's a terrible, disgraceful thing. Indeed. And so there are many. And of course, as I say, since you have these prophets that made profaneness from them go throughout all the land, and we can go through radio, through TV, and through internet, like we can do even in the streaming. If anybody listens to us, they know that we're there, they're tuned in. All the world. And if we're wrong, we're going to be possibly going to infect all the world. See? And these big television things, they're all over the world. Now we have CNN and Fox and NBC. They have three of these all-time, 24 hours, universal internet, all over the world type of stations. And people all over the world can see these things. And if they're evil, they're going to promote evil as well. All right, so let's go to verse number 16, 17, and 18. We spent a little time on those three verses. Let's read that verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood at the counsel of the Lord, and who hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? By verse 16, who is speaking now? In verse 16. Is he? Yes, he's saying, and who is he quoting? I thought Jeremiah is speaking, you're right. And who is he quoting?
The Lord.
Quoting, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Is that a good person to quote or a bad person? That's a good person. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what does the Lord say? What does he forbid?
Telling you not to listen to these prophets.
Okay. But not to listen. Hearken not. Don't listen. Now, that's negative, isn't it? Are all God's commands positive? There's a lot of negatives, aren't there? We said many times before, of the Ten Commandments, for instance, how many are positive? How many are negative? Two are positive and eight are negative. See, so a lot of people, they're against negativity. You know, a lot of people say, no. And I understand, but there's some things that you need to be negative about. You could say be positive about a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that are negative as well. Don't cross the street or park the avenue. You're dealing with a car, you say that to yourself. So they're negative. Hearken not to the words of prophets. The prophets. In other words, here is a principle that the Lord has given to us, that we're not to hearken and listen to every prophet that's preaching the scriptures, the word of God. Are there false teachers today?
Yeah.
You better believe it. There are a lot of cults out there. Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Science, liberal modernists, Roman Catholicism, the Jewish religious faith, some Unitarians, all kinds of falses. And God says here, don't hear the words of the prophets. Now, what happens to these prophets? What do they do to these people in verse 16? Especially if you're hearkening to
them. They make you vain.
Make you vain, make you empty. And where do they get their preaching?
Their own heart.
Their own heart. And not out of where? The mouth of the Lord. Out of their own heart. Now, that reminds me of pastors and preachers who just have little sermonettes, Christianettes and so on, and just have stories and stories and stories. Now, this is one of the distinctions of this New Age religion of Rick Warren. This is mentioned in Dr. Bennett's book, their article that he wrote, this 8-page article, on the Bonsai tree? Is that it? Bonsai tree. He mentions that that's one of the things. They don't want any doctrines to be taught. And just take away and make it vain. And just don't say anything about it. And also they say this. Don't have good preaching for the Bible. Just have a little tiny sermon. Maybe 15 minutes. Just short. Don't have people that know and want to know the Word of God. Use psychology. Use things out of their own brain, out of their own head. See, that's what they're trying to teach. This is fits right in here. They speak a vision of their own heart. Do we have any right to make up the words of God? That's absolutely false. We can't do it. We've got to stick to what the Word of God said. Now the mouth of the Lord. What does that imply about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of God in the Old Testament? What does that imply?
We have the Bible that speaks out of the mouth of the Lord.
And the Bible speaks out of the mouth of the Lord. He's the source, just like he was talking to us. We don't have to have these special revelations of, like some of the charismatics say they have, or some other people. Right out of the mouth of the Lord, we have his words. He's promised to preserve it. He's preserved the Hebrew words, the Greek words, and then translated in our King James Bible accurately in English. And so God says, stay away from those people. Now, today, who would the Lord advise us to stay away from? As far as the analogy here of leaders, religious leaders, that don't prophesy out of the Word of God. What would these other places he doesn't want us to hear?
Well, if they're not preaching out of the Bible, out of the King James Version of the Bible.
Yeah, that's even stronger.
We don't want to listen to them because they're not speaking out of the mouth of the Lord. They're not telling us that there's sin in homosexuality, that there's sin in abortion, that these things are the word of God never grows old. That's right. Are still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes, always the same. Sinful, wicked. Stay away from those people. And not only use the KJV, but also
Just don't preach the truth, and there's false teachers in many ways. And my mother-in-law always used to say, my wife's mother, listen for the absent note. How can you listen to something's absent? She says, listen for the absent note in a man's preaching. Not just what he says, what if he's on. But yes, that's very important. We see some of it over here with the young man, you know, he just, so it's very important. We're going to stop right here for tonight, but let's, Lord willing, we'll be back next, Lord, next Thursday and continue. Do you have any comments or questions before we close tonight? Interesting verses, aren't they? Of God's railing out against religious leaders. These prophets are religious leaders, both from the north and from the south, 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And he has a bone to pick with them, but God, if not, will close the word. Our Father, we thank thee that we have thy words, that we can read thy words in our King James Bible. We thank thee, Lord, that we can follow them, we can understand them. Thou hast given us wisdom and guidance because we have loved thee and known thee. We pray for those that are listening to us here and throughout, wherever and else they may be, that they may be discerning people, that they may know what to avoid as well as what to cling to. And may they steer away from all those false teachers and false pastors and false churches that don't teach the truth, the scriptures, that they may be wise. Thank you for Jeremiah and his steadfastness. He faithfully proclaimed thy words to his people. I'm sure he was not well liked because of it. Guide and direct all of our homes, those that are here, those that are listening to us, and bless us, Lord, as a people. And may we be a blessing to others. Take care of Wendy, especially as she's been sick, and others, Lord, who need our prayers. And guide us and direct us on the Lord's day to return to this house that we may be blessed with thee. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming. We appreciate it.